KX 93.5, it's Laguna's only FM radio station. And, you know, we're all about music around here. And James Vincent McMorrow is a guy who we've been playing a lot recently. I wrote down this morning, songs of love, lost, and loss, and the mystery of existence. Is that right, James? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds a bit right. That sounds accurate.
Now, we think of you as a solo singer-songwriter, but you're coming out to the States soon. Are you bringing a band with you?
Yeah. Everywhere we go, I have four people to play with me, and it's quite a big production this point.
Is it really? So, and how is that touring? How long have you been touring with the same guys?
This latest sort of incarnation of it, I mean, the two of the guys have played with me for probably 5 years now, and then two of the other guys are quite new. So it's kind of fluctuated from album to album, but it's gotten bigger and bigger. So it's I think five is the most that I've had.
Yeah. And are you guys like a team against, one of these bands that's sort of a team against the world sort of thing? I mean, how is touring for you? Is it hectic and crazy, or is it something that you really enjoy?
I mean, I love it. I think you fundamentally have to love touring, otherwise you wouldn't do it. I think because it's a funny life. When you explain it to people, they're like, how could you not love that? Because it sounds on paper fantastic. You know, like you sleep in a bus and you wake up and you're in a different city, and then you have most of the day to yourself. But it's the cycle of the day is really bizarre, because it's kind of, you know, it's designed towards a time when most people are like winding down their day, 9 o'clock at night. That's when you're getting going. Yeah. So it's a really strange day, and you have to kind of find things to do in the middle of your day. I work a lot, like I'm always writing and doing different things, so I don't find it hard, but you have to have the right group of people. I think that's key. I've had that before where some people haven't fit personality wise, but I can say hand on heart that I do love everybody that tours with me at the moment. It's a lovely group of people. Makes it easy.
I think of you as the kind of artist that works alone. Like I picture you in an attic.
I have worked in an attic before. That's not a wrong assessment of me. I do work alone. I like my own thoughts. I like the way that my thought process works by myself. I think that when other people are in a room with me, it tends to. I don't know. My thought process works differently. You know how it is. You know, if you're in a room by yourself, you think about things a certain way. And then as soon as other people enter the fray, it's like Schrodinger's cat or something. It makes it real. And then you think about life differently. And I find from a creative perspective that I would rather just spend time by myself, figure things out, and then, you know, make things real, and then have other people tell me what they think of my work.
I love that analogy of Schrodinger's cat. So, because I always think that you write a song, and then after the fact of writing the song and playing it to yourself maybe one time, after that it's all politics, because you've got to play it to somebody, and then you'll get a reaction from them, and it'll either be the reaction you expected, or it won't be as good, or whatever. All of a sudden you feel differently about the thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, music should be done in a vacuum up to a certain point. And then it's good to have people. It's good to have opinions and ideas. But yeah, I think that for me personally, I thrive, and I've kind of reached this point by just sort of doing things my own way and including people at a point where I feel like I'm tough enough to take the critiques and know myself really what to expect.
Well, at some point, you got to play it to, I don't know, label managers and whoever, industry people. Yeah. And then, of course, the gig itself. By the time it gets to the gig, presumably, you know it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think at this point, with like four albums and 6 or 7 years of doing this, I have a pretty good idea about what works and what doesn't. And I know where to spend my time and focus my energy. So, everybody has an opinion and everybody has an idea. The thing with this last record was obviously because it was released with no one knew about it. This is the first time I've ever done anything like that. So that was a different energy altogether, where, you know, you're just presenting a record and saying, I'm going to put this out in 2 weeks. Yeah. So it bypassed everything that I've just talked about, like the whole, you know, back and forth idea of making records in the last album. I completely like upended it, I guess.
Was that you do that on purpose? I know you were writing songs for True Care while the previous album was just coming out.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't done with any intent of making a record. I think that I was doing it for. I was doing it because I always do it. I always make records, and a lot of it never gets heard. You know, I mean, there's a lot of musicians that would say that they make a lot of records just for themselves, and then just make music for the sheer fun of it. And then you know when it's something. So I thought that it was just something for me, and then it sort of became something for other people. But obviously, we're in the midst of this touring cycle and this album cycle behind the last record, We Move, which was quite a big affair. And we were sort of all over the world with it, but this record needed to come out. And I feel like in 2017, you can kind of, I have a belief that you can kind of do what you want. And I'm lucky in the sense that, like, I have labels that support me, but also they kind of have to do what I want them to do because, you know, that at this point, they have an understanding of me as a person, and they know if I deliver something that I want to put it out there in the world. So even if they're sort of better brains might be telling them we should sit on this for a while, I think they knew that I needed to make it and release it the way I did. So they, God bless them, they just did it. They just did it for me. Oh, I appreciate, man, that.
You know, I'm delighted to hear that you sound so sort of confident and on top of that. I mean, because early in your career, you had some crushing blows from labels, I was reading.
Sure, yeah.
So you're feeling you're feeling good about the business of music now?
Well, I mean, I think all of those things worked in ultimately in my favor because, you know, I was in London last week. We did a residency at the place called the Village Underground, which is a really beautiful thing and something I've wanted to do for a long time. And to just see that amount of people night after night and the intensity of the crowd, I think because I didn't have any of that label infrastructure in the beginning, the only thing I could count on was myself. And it created a nice energy that I'm very grateful for between me and the crowd, where I feel as much like they're part of it as I think that they feel like I'm part of their lives, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like there's no contrived nature to it because it was never possible. I never had $1 million to spend on a marketing campaign to prove to people that I was what I was saying I am. Yeah. So all I could do was travel with my guitar and then travel with my keyboards and then ultimately travel with this big production. And every time it's gotten bigger and bigger, it's done so in quite an organic way. So I think all of those things I can look at now with an amount of hindsight and clarity, because obviously things have worked out okay for me, so I can say that now. If it had gone the other way, I'm sure I would be
you'd be miserable.
Attic, but yeah.
No, but that's awesome, James. So it sounds like you've sort of maintained the authenticity that you always wanted from the beginning. You know, reading about you, I know that that's important to you, to be who you are, kind of thing. And it sounds like you've sort of reached a good place with it. So listen, we haven't got much time. We could talk psychology all morning, but but I'd love to know about the show. You've got a show coming up at the Belly Up in San Diego. That's on 8/8, that's the 8th of August. When are you coming out to the States? Because that's soon,
I think. Yeah, it is soon. I think we leave on Saturday, maybe. So, yeah, coming up pretty soon now, actually. Yeah, I didn't even thought about how close it is.
It is soon, yeah. And you're doing the whole new album back to front for the first set.
Yeah, we're doing two sets a night. So essentially we're doing like 30 songs a night, where we're doing this whole new album front to back, and then we take a break and then we come back out and play the main set. So I guess the way I've been describing it to people in a way that makes sense is like I'm sort of supporting myself with this new record.
Opening for yourself, kind of thing.
Well, yeah, because I think that when you're like, I'm going to play this new record, There's a sense of sort of like narcissistic behavior in that, like where like I have this new work and I demand that you listen to it, and that's not the case. It's so I sort of think back to when I was supporting a lot of people, and the job was to kind of win over people that were a little skeptical, and I loved that. Like I remember playing in San Diego years ago, opening for a band called the Civil Wars, and it was the first show I did with them in 2011. And I remember I can't remember the name of the place, but I just remember walking out on stage, and it's sort of like, the job here is to like leave with as many people as possible. And that changes, you know. Obviously you walk into a venue now and you know that the people are there, but opening with a record that no one has really heard yet is a challenge, and it's a challenge I'm kind of grateful for because it makes you step up and you feel like I need to win these people even though they're already my crowd. And I just like that energy, and I think the crowd like it too. It's gone really well. We've done it quite a few times now, and it seems to be very
cool. You suppose you will be like a support band in that people are watching, at least listening to music that they've never heard before, so they've got to sort of train the ear in. That must have been daunting, opening for Civil Wars. They're incredible bands.
Yeah, Yeah, good friends of mine. That was really, that was my first proper US touring experience. So that was a good way to start.
Yeah, nice thing being an opening act as well, because you can always be back in the hotel room by 9:30.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like a zero pressure game to supporting that I kind of miss. You didn't have to like worry about anything. You just sort of showed up and were like, if I do my job, I'll do well. Whereas now there's all these other bells and whistles that come with being the headline act. That's kind of changed, but this is cool because we've, like I say, we've never played a proper full show in San Diego before. So I think it'll be when it's the first time in a city, there's a different energy to it. There's like sort of more of a, not edginess to it, but there's just more of a feel. It's cool.
Well, there's no edge to San Diego, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Very cool.
So the gig is on the 8th of August there at the Belly Up San Diego. We've been talking to James Vincent McMorrow. He's in Ireland right now, but he's coming out real soon. The new album is True Care. And it's been lovely talking to you, man. I'm delighted to hear that you sound so upbeat about everything, and we're looking forward to the show.
Absolute pleasure. Good to talk to you, Jason.